evening.
If you have your Bibles, and we're going to be taking a look at the first couple of verses out of Luke 15, and then we're going to be looking as we continue our study through John's Gospel, as we look at Luke 18, beginning at verse 28. This evening, we're studying briefly we'll look at the third trial of Jesus, which wasn't really any type of a trial. It was totally illegal. And then we're going to be looking at when he was brought before Pilate. And so to start with, if you turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Jesus had been brought before the high priest, Caiaphas. And Caiaphas had assembled the other priests along with his father-in-law, Annas, and the many of the Pharisees and scribes who were members of the Sanhedrin. They had been assembled in the evening, and to understand the way that a Jewish trial was supposed to run, they were to be the ruling body that was to examine the evidence and pronounce innocence or guilt. The trial, if it was held, it was very rarely held at night because it wasn't supposed to be. And if a trial was held at night, or even it was held during the day, there was to be a whole 24-hour period that was before anything would be declared or the evidence would be acted upon. I want you to understand, in the case of Jesus, everything happened like this. Just boom, 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 boom. They arrested him in the garden. They took him to Annas' place. Annas said, yes, he is worthy of death. He had been the high priest, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the recurrent high priest. Then they took him to Caiaphas' place, where he met with all these other people. Caiaphas said that he should die on behalf of the whole nation of Israel, and not even realizing what he was saying. Then the whole Sanhedrin was brought in. And as they were listening to this evidence, it was no evidence at all. Because as we saw on Sunday afternoon, they were bringing false charges, and they were trying to find people who could drum up charges against Jesus. They couldn't even find anybody. The two people that they found finally basically stated something that was totally untrue, and took it out of context of what Jesus had meant by it. And even that wasn't any evidence. But having said that, they declared Jesus guilty. And then they took him. We find in chapter 15, they immediately took him, chapter 15 of Mark. I might have said Luke, but I meant Mark. Chapter 15 of Mark's Gospel, and they immediately took him to Pilate. Now, this whole event of the previous three trials before in the Jewish priests and the Sanhedrin were illegal, and they had occurred during the night shortly after Jesus had been arrested, and there was no 24-hour period to allow the people to consider mercy. There weren't proper witnesses brought. Everything about the trials was illegal. And we see now that it's immediately the next morning, and it says in straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And so we see now he's before Pilate, and Pilate is the Roman governor of the southern portion of Israel and the area of Judah and Jerusalem. And now, if you would turn with me to John's Gospel, in John chapter 28, I'd like to read what occurs before Pilate. And it says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not in to the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, and that they might not eat the Passover. Now, I want you to just look at the hypocrisy of what is going on here. This is John chapter 18, verse 28. John chapter 18, verse 28. I read the first few verses from Mark 15, and now we're going back to John's Gospel, John chapter 18, verse 28, where Jesus is brought before Pilate. Now, I want you to see the hypocrisy of this. Pilate has his palace or judgment hall was where typically people would come in and sit before him and bring their case. They refused to go in because they're going to be celebrating the Passover. And being he's a Gentile, they don't want to go into his building or place because they will be considered unclean and unable to celebrate the Passover, and they won't have time to cleanse themselves from this act of uncleanliness before the Passover is celebrated. At the same time, they're willingly putting an innocent man to death. And it shows you the hypocrisy of the Jewish leadership at this time and how that they were willing to seek to put Jesus to death even though he was innocent of any crime because he was without sin. And yet they were not, and everything that I mentioned that they'd done up to this time had been done totally illegally, but they see nothing wrong with doing any of that, and they still view themselves clean to go and celebrate the Passover. Little do they understand that the Passover was speaking of the one that they were looking to kill, that the Passover was pointing to the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, that his judgment would pass over those who received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that he was without sin would pay for the sins of all mankind and all of those who would receive him as their Lord and Savior. So, total hypocrisy. And then we see that Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" Now remember, they couldn't get an accusation from anybody, but they're going to drum up a whole bunch of charges to bring before Pilate. And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not delivered him up unto thee." The first thing they accuse him of is being someone who's trying to stir up trouble and cause a riot. And when they say a malefactor, they say that he's trying to come against Rome. And so now, with being he's in the Roman court, they're saying he's trying to stir up the people to overthrow the Roman government, and that's really what he's all about. And Jesus never once, even though the Roman government was corrupt and the Roman government was evil, never once did he talk about the need to throw over the Roman government. He talked about people's attitudes in their hearts and they needed to get right with God. And remember, remember there was a time that they were trying to trip him up and they said, "Should we pay our taxes to Caesar?" And his disciples were questioning this as well. And remember, he got a coin, and he asked the question, "Whose image is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said, "Render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's." Now, most people don't even understand, and that's not even a profound statement to them, but it's a very profound statement. He was saying, Caesar has minted these coins. He is ruling over you on this earth. And you're taking his money and you're using his money. So give back to Caesar what's his and what's got his image on it. But he's saying, every one of you has my image on you. And how do we know that? Because in the book of Genesis it says that we were created in the image of God. And so he says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, that which has Caesar's image on it, give it back to him. But render unto God's what is God's." What do we have that is the Lord's? Our lives. Our who we are. We've been created in his image. Even if you're in total rebellion against God, it doesn't mean you weren't created in his image. Even if you're in total rebellion against God, it doesn't mean that you don't have a moral character and moral understanding, because God has given to every person a conscience that can direct us on what is good and right and what is evil and wicked. And the scriptures tell us we can sear our conscience and not listen to it. But the thing is, God has given it to us and He's created us in His image. What separates us from the rest of His creation? We are moral beings. The animals aren't moral. They can't sit down and tell you if something is good or evil, right or wrong, but we can. And so Jesus never once was a malefactor seeking to overthrow the Roman government. That's the accusation they were making, because they knew that would prick the ears of Pilate, and perhaps that would get Pilate to do what they wanted to do. The next reason that they came before Pilate is they had no right to use capital punishment as the Jewish leadership. And if you look at the Old Testament, the things that were where capital punishment was supposed to be used, it was to be used by stoning people to death. The Romans, when they killed somebody for a capital crime, they would crucify them. They put them on a cross. The prophets had foretold that when the Messiah came, He would give up His life for our sins. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 53. And the means of His death is that He would be hung on a tree, on a cross. And they took Him because the one who had the power at this time in the land of Israel to declare that someone should die by capital punishment was the Roman governor. And so they took Him to Pilate because they had no authority, and they would have been in trouble with Pilate had they killed Him by stoning, because then they would have been guilty of murder. But the thing is, when they took Him to Him and they're trying to accuse Him of these false crimes so that Pilate will have Him put to death. The first is that He's someone who's trying to overthrow the government. He's a malefactor. They then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye Him and judge Him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto Him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." You can see their whole intent. They didn't want to judge. They didn't want to look at the facts. It's evident from the three illegal trials they did and how quickly they ramrodded them through, not following the law at all. There were no opportunity for Jesus to present witnesses to counteract the charges. As a matter of fact, there weren't any charges that were even actually brought that were accurate. But we see that they said the whole intent is we want Him dead. And that's what they're saying here to Pilate. Pilate isn't a fool, and he understands what's going on, and he sees what they're doing. And we're going to see later on what his problem is. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying that the death, by what death He should die, and that would be on the cross. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto Him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" So now Pilate has gone, entered into the judgment hall. The rest of them are not, the Sanhedrin and the priests are not with him. He's with Jesus and whatever Roman officials are in the room with them. But it just indicates here Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, this is one of the things that the accusations they made against Him, and you see that in the other Gospels, where they accused Him of saying He was the King of the Jews, and that's how He was trying to get an uprising to have the Jewish nation overthrow Rome, and He would establish His kingdom. And Jesus had said on numerous occasions His kingdom was not of this world. And so He wasn't doing that at all. Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of it?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Okay? So the first thing Pilate asks him back is, "Am I a Jew? How would I know whether you're King of the Jews? That's why I'm asking you this, because I'm not a Jew." But then he also said, "These authorities have delivered you unto me. And what is the reason? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." Now this answered the whole thing of the accusation that they made earlier. He wasn't a malefactor trying to overthrow the government. He just stated to Pilate, he's a king, but his kingdom isn't of this world. And Pilate is having a bit of a problem understanding what Jesus is talking about, because he doesn't understand where's his kingdom of then, and what is his kingdom about. Pilate goes on, and Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Well, if you've got a kingdom, you're a king, but he doesn't understand the kingdom that Jesus has, and that he truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that one day Pilate will be standing before him and he'll have to give an account of his life. He truly is a king, but at this time he wasn't showing forth his power as a king, but rather he came as a suffering servant that he might pay for the sins of the world that men might be saved. Had Jesus not gone to the cross, he would be a king without any kingdom and without any followers, because he would have to judge all men and there'd be no means of forgiveness. The only way that man could be saved all the way from Adam until the end of the world is if they believe in the gift of salvation that God had determined before he created all things, that the second person of the Trinity, the Son, would go to the cross, and he without sin would pay for the sins of all those who would trust and believe in him. So Jesus said, "Thou hast said I am a king. To this end I was born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Okay? Now, he is telling him exactly everything that is as it is, but Pilate has no spiritual understanding. And Jesus goes on and he says, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, what was Jesus saying by that? If you are truly seeking the truth, if you want to know the truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. It is through him that the truth shall set you free." But you have to seek the truth. If you're unwilling to look for the truth, if you don't want to embrace the truth, if you don't want to see the truth when it is placed before you, there's no hope for you. Because God will not save you and force you to worship him, because then he doesn't give you the opportunity to choose, and your worship and your love would mean nothing. And so Jesus said, he is the truth, and that those who would seek the truth will find him. And so this evening, if you're seeking the truth, you need to look to God. There is no truth outside of God. And I'll be speaking about this on Sunday, but just to share a little bit which is pertinent to this. Man wants to try and create things apart from God and to change God's creation for the full purpose of eliminating God. And the only way they can do it is try to eliminate the truth. And if you look at what's happening in the world today, what is it permeated with? Lies. You know, we were just talking when prayer requests, transgenderism. Is transgenderism something that's real? It's a lie. You're either born a male or a female. You either have XX chromosomes or XY chromosomes. And even if you do all kinds of surgeries, take all kinds of hormones, mess up your whole body, your whole mind, and your whole system, you still will be either a biological male or a biological female, no matter what you've done to carve up your body and to inject yourself with drugs. And the thing is, it's man saying that you can change things apart from God's creation and apart from what God has established. And it's a lie. And so they're not willing to embrace the truth. So Pilate is coming, and it's interesting. Pilate saith unto him, well, what is truth? Now, a lot of people say, what is this question about? Why did Pilate say, what is truth? Now, I want you to understand, Pilate's asking this question, and he's looking at Jesus, who is truth, who's the definition of truth, who possesses the very meaning and all that is truth. And Pilate says, well, what is truth? I want you to understand, the Roman government was very much, very similar to what our government is today, and the Roman culture very similar. They become relativistic in their things. There were no absolutes. Consequently, you could do kind of what you wanted to do. They had laws, but they didn't always abide by the laws if it was expedient for them not to abide by the laws. That's very similar to our culture today. Everything is relative to the situation. Situational ethics justify. I can justify the ends by the mean, or the means by the end. What I want to achieve, if it's a noble thing that I want to achieve, I can do it by any means I want to. The truth says, no, you can't. You have to follow my law, my standards, my character. The Roman government didn't follow God's character. And so it was an appropriate question for Pilate to ask, what is truth? Because he didn't know what truth was. But it's amazing that truth was standing right before him. And he didn't acknowledge it, nor see it. And he says, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. He had not found anything that would indicate that Jesus was attempting to overthrow the Roman Empire. He wasn't a malefactor. He wasn't trying to do anything except come on a mission that had established to present the truth to mankind and to reveal to mankind their great need, and that was to have a relationship with God, and the only way they could do that was through him. And so he found no accusation that had been brought against Jesus to be real. And he says, I can't find anything to find this man fault with him. But ye have a custom that I should release to you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Okay. Then cried they all again and saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. And we're going to stop here tonight because we're going to get into the fifth trial, which Pilate sends Jesus away to Herod for a bit and then brings him back. And this event will occur in its fullness when he brings him back. But it's amazing as you look at this tonight, the very thing that was happening in Jerusalem is happening in the world today. People want to be gods for themselves and divorce themselves from the truth of God's character and the truth of God's word and who God is. They want to divorce themselves from Jesus, who came to pay the penalty for our sins. They want to say, I can be a god unto myself and I will justify my existence apart from God. And I will do what I want to do. But they don't understand that when they do that, they are rejecting the truth, and there's real consequences. One of the things that happens, and that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not see, is that when they divorced themselves from the law of God and divorced themselves from the character of God and did not see that their very prophets had foretold that Jesus was the Messiah coming to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, they divorced themselves from an understanding of what the Passover was really all about, the deliverance not only of Israel from the out of Egypt, but what that signified, the greater deliverance that would come, where we would be delivered from the slave enslavement to a world system and a a corrupt master, Satan, who desired to take us to the pits of hell, and Jesus came to deliver us by his blood, just as the lambs delivered Israel from Egypt by their blood on the doorposts and the lintels. But they had failed to see who Jesus was because they did not want to know the truth. There's consequences to their decisions. They have to stand before them as Jesus had told them. And remember, he was slapped by the high priest when he said, "You will see me one day coming in the clouds of glory." And one day they would stand before him. They knew exactly what he was saying, but they wanted to deny it. But it's not changing the facts. The truth is the truth. And you can lie all you want, but ultimately we have to face it. And God gives us the opportunity to face it in this life and receive Christ as our Savior, or we have to face it at the great white throne judgment, and there'll be no hope of deliverance or redemption then. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the question that Pilate asked, what is truth? And Lord, I pray that each one that is here tonight knows what truth is, that truth is found in you. And that your word is true because you are who you are and you are true. Lord, now I pray that you just go with us and help us to understand this and make application to our life. And Lord, if there be any here that don't know you, that they'd humble themselves and cry out on your name and receive the gift of salvation that is found in you, who came to pay the penalty for our sin. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd close with me.